BFF.FM.
All this obscure music is making my head spin.
Best frequencies forever. It's 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 forever.
This is Ausländer from Postkalpinum.
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. That was Am I a Good Man by Them Too. We played that to kick it off because that's our new theme song for 2018. And also today we're talking about the Emmys. And that song featured in Atlanta, a show that I feel should win an Emmy.
Yeah, several Emmys.
Yeah, my whole playlist is going to be songs of shows that we think should win Emmys. And oddly enough, a lot of them are, you know, themed about Am I a Good Man? Mm-hmm. There's Man Child. So stay tuned for that. We'll get deeper into the serendipity of 2018 just beating us over the head.
We're going to get 2018 to lay down on the couch and tell us about its childhood.
Yeah, 2018. How did we get here? Yeah, 2018, man. It just keeps coming with the hits. Speaking of hits, the Emmys, 70th Primetime Emmys, will air tomorrow night, Monday night, on some network. I don't know. NBC? I don't know. CBS? I should have checked that, probably.
You know what? If the people are relying on us to tell them where to tune into the Emmys, they got bigger problems.
Yeah, well, I was personally very upset that it's airing on a Monday. I'm used to watching it on a Sunday and sort of making a day of it.
Right.
You know, the Emmys is like the Super Bowl of TV award shows, right? The Oscars are the Super Bowl of award shows, and this is like the Super Bowl of TV award
shows.
Well,
it is like, it's a pretty big award show, and usually we like start watching red carpet shit at, you know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, pour yourself some champagne, and it's supposed to be a big celebration, and now it's like, Monday night.
Not so much. So I was curious as to why they were airing it on Monday night. I thought I thought they were maybe sending like a coded message about how like the country's in such turmoil that like trivial stuff like awarding already rich and recognized actors is not really, you know, shouldn't get prime time.
Yeah, I think also I just looked it up. It's airing on C-SPAN 3 this year, which is odd.
Great. That's what I thought. I thought it was Lifetime, but anyway. But yeah, so the I did some research on behalf of you, our listeners, and found out that the Emmys are airing on Monday night because they didn't want to go up against Sunday Night Football, which...
What?
Yeah. Historically, they have lost in the ratings to Sunday Night Football. And also, you guys may have heard there's kind of a thing with football right now. It's like historically low viewership. And they still didn't want to go up against football, which just shows this country's still broken, in case you needed any further fucking, like, clarification on that.
I just find, I mean, I'm sure they did their research, but the idea that they're competing for the same viewers.
Well, the thing is, the last time the Emmys aired on a Monday night was in 2014, and it was the second highest viewership for the Emmys of any award season in the, you know, I don't know. They haven't been airing it for 70 years, obviously, but it was the second highest viewership. So we'll see. But I don't know that I'll even be tuning in because, as you said, so the red carpet starts tomorrow at 4:30. The show starts at 5 Pacific time.
And I will still be at my desk, unfortunately.
I will not be home. And yeah, I don't care. So that's
our
show. Thanks for tuning in. That's our show, the Emmys. They're garbage this
year. Real pep rally over here today.
Let's get to the, you know, real meat of the Emmys, of course. One of the big things is who hosts the Emmys.
Oh, God.
It's such a... there's always talk about it. It's always, I guess it's a covetable thing, although it has tanked, well, I wouldn't say it's tanked several careers, but it's, hosting any award show is always fraught because I feel like you can never do,
you can't win
the right thing. And then a few years ago, little duo called Faye & Poehler proved that wrong when they did a fucking tour de force. Tour de force hosting performance of every award show for like 3 years, right? Didn't they host the, was it the Emmys or the Golden Globes?
It might have been the Tonys for all I know, but they should host everything going forward.
In perpetuity, forever. They're hilarious. They are respectful. They're not evil. And what with 2018 being a year that we're ostensibly trying to amplify women's voices, I think that the Emmy, you know, whatever, is the Emmy an Academy? The Emmy,
who is the
Emmy
Academy
voting body, could have sent a message by choosing women to host the Emmys. It doesn't even have to be Faye & Poehler again. There are, newsflash guys,
you know,
there are,
what
there
I
are
came up
plenty
with?
Of women that could host the Emmys.
Nicole Byer should host this.
Nicole Byer would be great.
Nicole Byer should host this. She should host the Oscars.
Yeah.
She should host PBS NewsHour for all I care. She should be the host of everything.
Yeah, she's a delight. But my point is, there's no shortage of women who could host this. And no, the dubious honor goes to Colin Jost, the blandest, most just mediocre white man, one of the most mediocre white men in the world, and Michael Che, noted Louis C.K. apologizer.
I mean
defender.
I've enjoyed Weekend Update with the two of them. I can't really speak to Colin. Is he the head writer of SNL?
He used to be.
Oh, he got demoted.
Yeah, he got demoted to the weekend desk, and then parlayed that into fucking Scarlett Johansson, as you do. So,
well, I've always found them funny. I tried to like Michael Che. I think he's funny, but he's hard to defend. I mean, even beside the Louis C.K. thing, he's just a fucking dick.
Yes.
Like the way I've read shit about him, like coming for people on social media in a way that is unbecoming of a public figure, I would say. And I get that male comedians are sensitive flowers and they think that their speech is like, they should be in a special class of protection for their free speech because it's so fucking hard to be a comedian and put yourself out there. But just fucking grow up.
Yeah.
You know, like I think an important part of being a comedian is kind of having a thick skin, and he does not.
He clearly does not. You're absolutely right. I've also read stories about, like beefs he's had with people, and it's inevitably like punching below his weight too. It's never somebody else on SNL. It's like another some blogger who fucking, you know, like wrote something disparaging, or there was a big thing about somebody published some messages on like a Tinder type app that Michael Che had been going back and forth on. And yeah, he does just seem like a dick.
Yeah.
And then when he came out in defense of Louis C.K. and said that, you know, the man deserves to work.
Sorry, just 5 minutes of you can hear our eye rolls.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had to literally like look down at my wrist where I've written, just breathe, just breathe. Like I had to take a moment and just walk it back there. The argument that men who have abused women and admitted that they abused women, the argument that they deserve to work, that's fine. I'm not saying that they should be like cast out, like let's ice flow these fuckers. That would be my preference, but I'm not saying we have to do that. But the argument that they are entitled to come back and make millions of fucking dollars as their work versus anything else is bullshit. And Louis C.K. deserves nothing, has learned nothing, and he can fuck right off forever.
Yeah.
Forever. His surprise set at the New York Comedy Cellar.
It's really so perfect.
After fucking admitting that you forced people to watch you masturbate, as you know, they were surprised by that, and then to show up at the New York Comedy Cellar surprise 9 months after your fucking, you know, fake ass apology about how you were going to take some time to reflect.
Yeah,
I mean, he has learned nothing. He doesn't care to learn anything. He probably stole that spot from some fucking comedian who had to like give out flyers for 4 days to get like a 2 minute set at the fucking Comedy Cellar. And I'm over it. And the fact that Michael Che would say like he deserves to work and everyone like, what are we gonna do? You know what we're gonna do? We're probably gonna
let him host the 2019 Emmys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll get to him later. But anyway, so Michael Che, I don't want to hear anything from that guy. Yeah. I also don't think that the like SNL Weekend Update vibe is necessarily the best for an award show. Are you gonna go topical, or are you gonna, you know, poke fun at the people in the audience? I don't know.
Nicole Byer.
It's all garbage, guys. 2018.
2019.
Yeah, Nicole Byer for everything.
Yeah.
But let's get to some of the categories.
Okay.
All right.
Just real quick on Nicole Byer. I didn't see Nailed anywhere in any of these nominations. So, I mean, obviously, Nailed It, I mean. Clerical error, maybe. But I hope they get that resolved by tomorrow night.
It may be a eligibility period.
Oh, interesting.
Issue, because just so you guys know, I did some research on this also. The eligibility period for contention in the 2018 Emmys was July 1st, 2017 through May 31st of 2018. So that encompasses it encompasses a lot of
it
TV.
It does.
And
it's weird that it's not 12 months.
No.
Is there some black hole of TV where it's like, you're just not, I'm sorry.
Well, I think it dates back to the...
the last nominations.
No, I think it dates back to... Now with streaming services, it's stupid to have any eligibility dates. You should make it a year. But it dates back to schedules, like fall schedules,
oh,
and all of like I don't know. But there's also been all these like bullshit loopholes created for shows like Game of Thrones that have that haven't aired in that period, but had like one episode that made it in. And then they get to
interesting.
Yeah. They get to be considered eligible for it. But anyway, so let's get to, there's really only a few categories that anybody ever cares about. All the Creative Arts Emmys were awarded last weekend. Was it last weekend?
Yes, it was last weekend. Over 75 hours at the Microsoft Theater. And condolences to 13 Reasons Why for losing in its only category that it was nominated for. Outstanding creative achievement in interactive media within a scripted program.
Oh.
Which got stolen from them by Westworld.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't even know what to say about that. Okay.
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, that's really something. Okay, so they got a lot of the like less interesting stuff out of the way. Let's just be real.
Because my notes are a jumble, I printed out all of the nominees and winners in the Creative Arts Emmys, and it's a disaster. But there were guest performance awards in that. And excuse me, let me just flip through 75 pages.
Sure, sure.
Congrats to Tiffany Haddish. Guest actress in a comedy series for SNL, which in itself feels like a condolence prize for awards she didn't get for a Girls Trip.
Yes, absolutely. That's congrats to, I would like to offer sincere congrats to John Legend on becoming an EGOT.
Mm-hmm.
John Legend collected his Emmy last weekend for Jesus Christ Superstar and became the, I don't know, somewhere between 13th? The 12th and 15th person to win, because Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice also became EGOT members. So congrats to him, because John Legend seems like he's a delight, but we'll get to that in a bit.
We will. Okay. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No, you're fine. So let's start
We got a long list of awards to get through tonight, people. Hold your applause. No speeches over two minutes.
Also, if you guys feel like you have very strong opinions about any of these categories, please feel free to tweet at us. We always love to hear from you. It's at BFFTV on the radio on your Twitter. We'd love to hear your opinions about any of these categories, or hating on Michael Che and Colin Jost, anything to do with the Emmys or anything really. I mean, we're here for you.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys need. Okay, so let's start with Best Limited Series.
Okay.
The nominees are The Alienist, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Genius, Picasso, Godless, and Patrick Melrose.
I only watched one of those.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Melrose.
Yes. So,
but
the Emmy goes to,
I'm going to give it to Patrick Melrose. I mean, of everything I saw, that was the best.
Yeah. I intended to watch The Assassination of Gianni Versace. I did not. I did watch the first two episodes of Godless. It was not for me. That's airing on Netflix currently. Genius Picasso makes me irate just seeing the fucking ads. And I don't know why Antonio Banderas is still getting work either. He's also nominated for it. I think The Alienist was on like TBS or TNT.
Yeah,
or
one something. Of those.
Like one of those.
It was some sort of
downwind.
Like period drama.
Yeah, I think it was a Jack the Ripper thing,
that
though.
That sounds about right.
But so I'm going to give the Emmy to that.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea. But Patrick Melrose apparently was a real tour de force from Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
And sure, let's give it to him. Okay. Whatever. Did he ever win for Sherlock Holmes?
I don't know.
I don't. So let's say we'll give it to him for the times he didn't win for Sherlock Holmes. Okay. Best drama. I do actually have some opinions on this category. The nominees are The Americans, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, This Is Us, and Westworld. Who do you think is going to win the Emmy?
I think that obviously some power hitters in this category. Handmaid's Tale, Game of Thrones, and Westworld are heavily favored for awards. But I think the last year for The Americans, which has typically been snubbed, right? Even though it's critical.
Yes.
So I think they're going to give it to The Americans.
No fucking way.
Really?
They absolutely should. The Americans, that entire series was, it's it's just amazing, and everyone should watch it if you haven't. And the last season was really strong, and it absolutely was a riveting, amazing drama that deserves to win. I think The Handmaid's Tale cleaned up last year. I think The Handmaid's Tale is probably going to get it again this year. I would also say I would be happy with Game of Thrones winning also, because this season was payoff for all the boring ass seasons that I had to sit through on Game of Thrones. This season was really great.
Is there an award for that?
No. Best comedy. The nominees are Atlanta, Blackish, Barry, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Glow, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Silicon Valley.
Ugh, another tough category. I loved Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I won't be mad if that wins, but Barry was so fucking amazing.
I mean,
I'm giving the award to Barry.
I feel the same way. I actually think The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel might win.
Really?
I don't know. They're just all hyped up on Amy Sherman-Palladino. And I enjoyed that show, but I do think Barry was amazing straight out of the gate. And I think it was great. And I would love to see that win. And I would also, Atlanta had an outstanding season this year. So yeah. I would be very happy if Atlanta won. I don't watch Blackish, but I know that it receives a ton of critical and fan love. So, I mean, sure, give it to that too. Do not give it to fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm. Do not give it to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, Emmys? Don't fucking do it. Let's get to the best actor in a drama.
Okay. Want me to read this one?
Yeah, please. Sorry.
Give you a little break.
Go ahead.
No, no. Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us. Jason Bateman for Ozark. Ed Harris for Westworld. Matthew Reese for The Americans. Jeffrey Wright for Westworld. And Milo Ventimiglia? Mm-hmm. Ventimiglia for This Is Us.
Okay. I think Sterling K. Brown won last year as a makeup for not winning for the OJ. People versus OJ. And I am out on This Is Us. I no longer watch it. I feel like it's emotionally manipulative. And I like a good cry, but I don't really.
There's plenty of that
on
TV this year.
Yeah. I think that Matthew Reese, in this season and for his entire body of work, this is his last chance. And he should 100% win. Jason Bateman did some good work on Ozark, but Ozark season 2 is just back and whatever. You'll have other chances, Marty Bird. I feel like Matthew Reese should definitely win this. I don't think he will.
I picked Sterling K. Brown because I forgot that he had already won for This Is Us. But you convinced me. I think Matthew Reese is going to get it.
I don't know. I feel like he should. But I was trying to think this morning. Did Jon Hamm win for Mad Men his last year?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did either. But he was up against Walter White. So I think that, I don't know, maybe Ham did win. I feel like maybe that was a fever dream that I had. I think they're going to give it to Sterling K. Brown again because fucking.
So we just switched?
I want it to be Matthew Reese, but I think they're going to give it to Sterling.
Okay. Brown. Then I'm coming back to Sterling K. Brown too.
Okay. Who do you think, or can you read the nominees for Best Actress in a Drama?
I don't know how to say this woman's name. Tatiana Maslany.
Maslany
for Orphan Black. Claire Foy for The Crown. Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale. Sandra Oh for Killing Eve. Evan Rachel Wood for Westworld. Or Keri Russell for The Americans.
Yeah, Sandra Oh is the first Asian American actress to be nominated in this category for Best Actress and not supporting. And she was amazing on Killing Eve. Again, I think Keri Russell, truly outstanding in The Americans. And also, just a sidebar here, Keri Russell and Matthew Reese met on the set of The Americans, and Keri Russell was married. And I can't really condone affairs, but they are clearly made for each other. And I want Keri Russell and Matthew Reese to both win.
Okay. I picked Keri Russell. I just feel like it's not just that any one category has been snubbed. The Americans has just, they've never gotten any Emmy recognition, right? I feel like something's got to give this year, but maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's 2018.
they're going to give this award to a man somehow.
Exactly. Elizabeth Moss is going to win again for The Handmaid's Tale, I think. And I can't comment on it because I didn't watch the second season. I didn't even finish the first season, which was approximately 98 hours of TV viewing, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So I didn't watch the second season because it's just too fucking bleak. And I don't know, Brett Kavanaugh is about to be nominated. So, you know, I'll just wait and catch it in real time. But I do think that Elizabeth Moss will get it again. Like, they all fucking get so caught up on their, like, prestige dramas. Yeah. And, yeah, I think Kerry Russell's going to be robbed. But I would also be happy if Sandra Oh won. All right, let's lighten it up and get to Best Actor and Actress in a Comedy.
Anthony Anderson in Blackish. Ted Danson in The Good Place, Larry David for Curb Your Enthusiasm, Donald Glover in that hilarious comedy, mm-hmm. Atlanta, William H. Macy in Shameless for his 27th season in Shameless, and Bill Hader in Barry.
What are your thoughts?
I picked Bill Hader, but I don't know. I mean, Donald Glover was amazing. Again, Bill Hader's performance in this show, it's just, it was brilliant and nuanced and unexpected.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
I loved it.
Donald Glover won last year for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. They also don't like filling out repeat ballots, which is why Allison Janney has won for that fucking shitty ass comedy Mom for the last 8 years. They're just like, just what did I do last year? That sounds good. I think Donald Glover might win, but I would love to see Bill Hader take it. I also would be fine with Ted Danson. Do not give it to fucking Larry David. Larry David needs to go away.
Finally went back to watching The Good Place, and it's funny. I finished the first season.
Funny. It's really cute.
He's great.
I finished the first season also. I'll get to it, guys. The second and there's just two seasons.
The third one's starting soon, next week or something.
We should get on that.
Yeah.
Best actress in comedy.
Pamela Adlon for Better Things, Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Issa Rae for Insecure, Allison Janney for Mom, and Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie.
Okay.
What do you got?
I think that Rachel Brosnahan might win this. Or Allison Janney yet again for the 85th year for Mom, which, by the way, my husband and I actually tried to watch a few episodes, or we made it through approximately 60 seconds of the show Mom. Yeah, because we wanted to see, you know, what's this. And it is a subpar, paint-by-numbers, like,
what
terrible
is it, on
sitcom.
CBS or something?
I think it's on CBS.
Thanks for taking that hit, because I've been curious about it, because I feel like it's got, I mean, obviously some sort of acclaim, but now I don't have to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Rachel Brosnahan has a shot. She was utterly charming in that portrayal on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and her aunt died, you know, so I don't know. I feel like people might give it to her, but
your famous aunt died.
Yeah.
Concession award. Sorry, your aunt's dead. Here's an Emmy.
Good. Take the good with the bad. But my pick actually is for Pamela Adlon for this season of Better Things, which was, again, it's not a comedy in the way that Atlanta is not a comedy, but this season was amazing. There is one episode that made me like weep so hard. It was just really beautiful. It's a very, very heartfelt show. She will probably have to give her speech about how fucking Louis C.K., like, I don't know, I feel all of that's tied up, and her work has never gotten the recognition it's needed because she's always sort of been in his shadow. But Better Things is an amazing show, and she was really awesome in it, so I would like to see her win. Do we care about supporting actor and drama and actress? I haven't seen
most of
this stuff.
I picked Peter Dinklage for supporting actor because I feel like someone from Game of Thrones is going to take it.
Sure.
And I picked Tandy Newton for Westworld.
She's really good. I feel like Anne Dowd from The Handmaid's Tale will probably win supporting actress. And Peter Dinklage has already won, so I don't know. It might be a sweep for The Handmaid's Tale with Joseph Fiennes, or I would love to see David Harbour win for Stranger Things.
He was great. I don't think there's a chance in hell.
No, I don't think it's, I don't think it's an Emmy-worthy performance, but I don't know. What do I know? best supporting actor for comedy. Would you like to read the nominees?
Oh, God.
We actually have some feelings about.
I have strong feelings. Alec Baldwin for Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. Louis Anderson for Baskets. Brian Tyree Henry for Atlanta. Titus Burgess in Unbreakable K. Schmidt. I had to abbreviate it. Henry Winkler in Barry. Kenan Thompson in Saturday Night Live. And Tony Shalhoub in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
What are your thoughts?
Okay. Henry Winkler was amazing in Barry. Like, yes. Fucking above and beyond.
Yeah.
Honestly, Kenan Thompson has been dark mm-hmm. on SNL mm-hmm. for 27 years now.
Kenan Thompson was there through the very, very fucking lean years.
Saturday Night Live has had many periods of many lean years, but he has been a bright spot in that show. Mm-hmm. He is so fucking funny. But if Brian Tyree Henry doesn't get it for Atlanta, I will lose my fucking mind.
Is this Kenan Thompson's last season? This was his last season, I think.
I don't know.
I think this was his last season.
Okay.
So maybe as a sentimental send-off, Kenan Thompson will finally get his due. Mm-hmm. Brian Tyree Henry will have additional chances to win.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta's going to keep getting nominated. They've confirmed that they're coming back for another season, okay. Which was my concern, is that Donald Glover just has so much shit going on that he might just be like, oh, I'll just walk away from it.
Just in Star Wars now.
Yeah. But yes, Henry Winkler, that performance warmed my heart. And I didn't know I needed Henry Winkler in my life. I have needed Henry Winkler all these years. Mm-hmm. I feel like we mentioned this when we were talking about Barry. I feel like any of us could tweet at Henry Winkler and say, Henry Winkler, I need you. Can you come? My car broke down on the 5. Can you come pick me up? And he'd be like, sure. I will be there. Henry Winkler is an uber mensch and I fucking love him. And we've tweeted out that GQ profile of Henry Winkler. And if you haven't read it, do yourself a favor and add some sunshine to your day.
Yeah.
We did receive a tweet from listener Steven who said that he's seen nothing about it being his last SNL season.
All right.
So that's the definitive word on it.
Thank you. That's it. We're Steven, done. General counsel and researcher and production assistant. I don't know what we'd do without you. Spew misinformation for an hour every Sunday.
Which, it's fine. Supporting actress for a comedy. The nominees are Kate McKinnon for SNL, Adie Bryant for SNL, Leslie Jones for SNL, Zazie Beetz for Atlanta, Laurie Metcalf for Roseanne, that aged well, Alex Borstein for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Betty Gilpin for Glow, and Megan Mullally for Will and Grace.
Another tough category. Zazie Beetz. Fucking amazing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Betty Gilpin body slammed the role in Glow. Yes. And maybe this might be a long shot, but Leslie Jones, another person on SNL
always
who has been doing heavy, heavy lifting on that show. And she really puts everything into everything she does.
She does.
If you haven't seen that When Harry Met Sally sketch that she's in SNL, stop what you're doing right now and look that up. It is mind-bending. So she's my pick.
Okay. Mildly worried that since Colin Jost and Michael Che get to host, that Laurie Metcalf fucking will win.
I thought you were going to suggest they'd favor someone from SNL. But
oh, no, I don't give... No, I don't think that's true. Kate McKinnon won last year. She is a delight. She's always doing some like serious heavy lifting on that show also. She's great. I like Adie Bryant.
She's
Leslie
great too.
Jones is hilarious. But I will say that SNL is only fucking good again because of Trump, right? Do we agree? Or is it just better? It's better than it used to be.
I don't honestly like the political. This political life is so beyond parody that I haven't found that to be the funniest parts of SNL. But I don't know. That's another show that as soon as I watch it, it's gone out of my head.
Instantly.
All I remember is that Leslie Jones made me laugh.
Yeah, she's a delight. Her Instagram is also delightful. Yes. You should go ahead and follow her on Instagram. You will not regret it. We're going to go to another song. And then anyway, so those are some of the things. Whatever. Don't really care about any of this. Those are some of the things. Those are some of the nominations.
That's sort of like the tagline for our show. Every Sunday we come here and we tell you some of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the things.
Those are some of the
things. We only have an hour.
I'm a little hamstrung this year because I haven't seen a lot of these shows. I mean, I don't watch Handmaid's Tale.
It must be really something because there's so much fucking TV.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Mindhunter. That got a nomination for guest actor in a limited series or something like that. I think the guy, anyway, someone who played a serial killer got a nomination. What the fuck? Peaky Blinders? Like.
Yeah.
If you not compete for a BAFTA, do you not do the Emmys or something? Like,
I don't
know. Show was not mentioned.
Also,
Joel Kinnaman didn't get outstanding achievement in shirtlessness for Altered Carbon.
Yeah, that's. I guess they just assume, like, it's just his. They don't need to even put together a category. It just goes to Joel Kinnaman. They just shipped it off. Also, Smilf. Smilf
did
is what
anything?
Prompted. No, Smilf was not nominated for anything. Smilf. Is one of the shows it prompted me looking at the eligibility period because I just found it improbable that Rosie O'Donnell was not nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
I think she was truly like the definition of outstanding in that role. And Smilf is another new show that came out of the gate really strong. It's something different. It's not a fucking remake. It's not a reboot of something. And that's what we should award. Like, we shouldn't be awarding fucking
Megan
Mom
Mullally
on CBS.
In Will and Grace. What decade is it?
Yeah, come on. So I was very, very angered to see that Smilf was not included anywhere. I thought that that was one of the stronger shows of this year. And also, created, written, and produced by a woman.
Oh, yeah. That's why it wasn't eligible.
Yeah, of course. But it did air during the eligibility period.
It did. It came out at the beginning of this year.
Yes. So, anyway, fuck the Emmys. Let's go to a song, and then when we come back, we are going to talk about some categories we feel were overlooked and should be added to the Emmys, specifically for this year. So, stay tuned for that. And, again, if you have any thoughts about the Emmys, any categories you would like us to go over. Last week, the Queer Eye Fab Five did win an Emmy, so I guess it's not all bad. But we're going to go to a song and then we'll come back and talk more about the Emmys. Stay tuned to BFF.fm. Maybe we're going to go to a song.
It's a real banger.
Yeah.
Did you push the button?
I did push the button twice.
On the board.
Yeah, I did. Oh, okay. Sure. Stay tuned, we'll be back after this.
Yeah.
right. That was Manchild by Redgrave. that featured prominently in Barry this season, which we also feel should win all the Emmys. So yeah, we were talking about some of the categories. Some of the categories were lightweight invested in this year. But I feel that, what with 2018 being the year it's shaped up to be so far, there are some categories that were overlooked by the Emmys this year. So we came up with a way to rectify that. So these are the categories that we here at TV on the Radio would be hosting when we were, were we invited to host the Emmys, which didn't happen. Okay, first category. Outstanding harasser who will definitely, definitely have a future CBS interview with Les Moonves aired as a primetime special.
Oh, wait. Can you cue up I Believe I Can Fly when you read these nominees?
Michael Che claps extra loudly for all these, for every nominee in this category, by the way. The nominees are, Jess, would you like to do the honors?
Oh, sure. Louis C.K., mm-hmm. Charlie Rose, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. clap, Matt Lauer, and Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, and Matt Lauer just stands there abashedly, yeah, smiling, just waving to his fans. Jess, who do you think would win this Emmy?
This is a tough category.
It is a tough competition.
But yeah. I'm going to give it to Charlie Rose. I feel like that guy is going to snake his way back into public life somehow. The revered Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
How about you?
Elder statesman Charlie, mm-hmm, Rose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think for my money, they're all winners, really. It's so hard just to pick one.
No losers in this category.
Aziz narrowly avoided being nominated, by the way. It was just such a crowded field.
Another snub for Aziz.
Yeah. Just such a crowded field.
Crowded out by Jeffrey Tambor once again.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Tambor wasn't nominated this year either.
I think he wasn't eligible. I think his work was from 2017. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Here's the category that we would like to see.
Oh, wait. Real quick. Lest anyone think that there were snubs, I just want everyone to know that last weekend at the Creative Arts Emmys, there was a special award given to Mario Batali for TV Chef Harassers.
And, oh, good.
He wasn't left out. He was just in a different category.
Yeah, we have to be inclusive for sure. Okay. Let's talk about the next category, which is badass women who had their careers derailed by monsters, but maybe we'll get a scathing op-ed and possibly a reboot at their careers. The nominees are Linda Bloodworth Thomason, the creator of Designing Women, who is now getting to produce Designing Women again.
Worked the first time.
Hey, let's go with that. And then, I don't know, is Candace Bergen officially a nominee since they gave her back her old show?
I don't know. Sure.
I don't know. Okay.
Let's not forget to thank the people who made all of this possible, which is the women who were pushed out of their careers by fucking monsters. We don't know any of your names.
That's
but
exactly.
Ladies, wherever you are right now, give yourselves a hand.
Yeah, you're all winners too. You all get a show. Everyone gets a show. Okay, this next category, for real, I would like to see, and this makes me very sad to even have to go through this, but the next category, best good men, who I will be absolutely devastated to find out that there are any skeletons in their closets. Would you like to read the nominees?
Oh my gosh, it would be my honor. The nominees are Ronan Farrow, mm-hmm, The Rock, mm-hmm, John Legend, mm-hmm, and Henry Winkler. Mm-hmm. And you appended Dylan Minnette.
I did, because he seems, I don't know, he just seems nice. And also, now that he's young, I feel like he hasn't had that many opportunities to fuck shit up for women yet. And mm-hmm, maybe mm-hmm, he seems open to learning. He had like a very ranty post about a band that has been on the record, or not on the record, but has been alleged to have abused their fans, and he demanded that they be removed from a bill. And okay, so that's good for him. And his girlfriend seems like a badass, so I don't know. I like Dylan Minnette.
Good.
Soft I'll spot throw for in that little kid.
John Lovett.
Yeah.
Coach,
sure,
Taylor. Anyone from Queer Eye. Bruno Mars. And sure, Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh.
Just because I can't go one show without mentioning Jason Mantzoukas.
Also, I wasn't watching, but the Texas football game was on, and they showed Matthew McConaughey there, and I was like, oh, McConaughey, and I was like, I want to add him to my list of like men who I would be sad. And then I was like, no, there's definitely some shady shit in his past. Right?
We can assume.
Anyway, this award actually is posthumously awarded to Tony Bourdain. And it makes me sad every time I type his name or see anything referencing Anthony Bourdain. I will mourn his loss for a long time. And thanks for saying Coach Taylor. I did think about adding him to the list, but I'm kind of worried Kyle Chandler might be like a diehard Republican. Oof. If anyone has any intel on that, please let me know. Kyle Chandler, if you're listening and you are incensed that I would even insinuate that your allegiance is not on the right side, please let us know. Put my mind at ease. Okay. Let's get to the next category. So these are the nominees for Who Should Run CBS Now.
Yeah.
Would you like to read the nominees?
Oh my gosh, yes. Reese Witherspoon, mm-hmm. Alison Brie, mm-hmm. Dolly Parton, mm-hmm. solid pick, Candace Bergen, Ellen DeGeneres, Katie Couric, Rosie O'Donnell, and Oprah.
Okay. Who do you think would win?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Really? Wow, dark horse. I think that they would all actually share the prize. I think they would each take a month here and there, and uh-huh. it would be very collaborative.
Takes the
and
village.
But I do think that secretly, like behind the scenes, Reese is the shadow government running
totally
the whole thing.
I totally believe that situation.
She seems like a fucking cutthroat bitch. And also Reese is, and I mean that in the best possible way. And also Reese is the one that I can totally like imagine and see and hope would be pushing some male intern or like male producer up against a wall and like cupping his balls while making like, while forcing him to make her a martini. And I just have, you know, I just have high hopes.
I want to throw in Cardi B, Cynthia Nixon, and Tiffany Haddish.
Great. Yeah. I'll take
round it out.
All of those. That's, yeah, solid picks. We can fix CBS, guys. We can fix the whole fucking world. I think that
just
Reese,
give us the power to recruit some unwilling famous A-listers, yeah. and force them to run CBS.
And also, by the way, Reese, like harassing the male execs, it's called restorative justice, people. Okay, look it up. All right. And also, if men are too sensitive about their balls being cupped, maybe they're too hysterical to work in Hollywood. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. The next category is outstanding athlete who should commentate on all sports, social, political, everything, events or matters of social import. And the nominees are?
Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. LeBron James, mm-hmm. Serena Williams, mm-hmm. and Alex Rodriguez.
Okay. Who do you think would win?
I would do anything, including watch NFL football, if Colin Kaepernick were a commentator and he said nothing.
Yeah. I feel like that would be
a dream.
Yeah. Colin Kaepernick obviously is doing it all by saying nothing. Mm-hmm. That's his MO. LeBron and his iconic "ya bum" tweet, like even if he had done nothing else for the fucking world, deserves to have his voice amplified and heard. Serena Williams is amazing. Also, she really, really seems like she has the whole thing figured out. Like mm-hmm. Alexis Ohanian worships that woman, and I stand them really hard. And she seems like she's got her shit locked down. And yeah. I've nothing but respect for my whatever tennis president. And then A-Rod did more for the people of Puerto Rico than the entire fucking government did. So, and he's with J-Lo, so, you know, I like
he
that.
Is
what you didn't know that
I'm out of the loop.
Okay. So anyway, I think all those people should be sports people that we hear from. Yesterday when I was typing this up, I was like, sports people, that doesn't sound right, but that's what they are. They're sports people. I guess that's it. And then later I was like, athletes, that's the word, athletes. Okay. All right. So that's why we should be in charge of CBS, guys. Okay. The best politician who should get a job on TV when the Democrats fail to make any fucking inroads to elect good people or change anything or grow a spine.
This is the realest category.
Mm-hmm.
of the entire 2018 Emmys. The nominees are Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Jason Kander, and Beto O'Rourke.
Okay, what are your thoughts?
Oh man, this is. I mean, can I add? I would like to see the eye roll hour with Maxine Waters.
Yeah,
I feel like, and I think there's also room for a reboot of NBC's Heroes, where a group of ordinary White House employees realize that they have superhuman powers and they do nothing.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to Liz Warren's podcast, Pocahontas Trap House.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That first episode's a banger. Yes. Pocahontas Trap House. Great.
But I'm going to give it to Kamala Harris.
Yeah. I really need more of her just like withering, like dripping with disdain voice. I want her exclusively on every channel interviewing every man about anything ever. And that's going to be how we know who the good men are, because they will admit to anything Kamala Harris accuses them of. Like with that Kavanaugh hearing, I was like, shit, did I talk to someone at that law firm? Fuck. Wait, maybe. I don't know. But my dream team would be Kamala having her talk show where she interviews men. And then, and also it would make Donald Trump irate because she's a woman. And she's on TV. And Beto O'Rourke is her Paul Schaefer.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
In that dress.
Cory Booker could come on and do occasional segments where he's like, bring it on.
Yeah.
He could just, that'd be his segment. Bring it on with Cory Booker.
He'll do like the cooking segment and that'll be his catchphrase.
Bring it on with Cory Booker. Do you have any additional categories that the Emmys should add this year, Jess? Our telecast is already 7 hours long, so just go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think the Emmys could use some editing. Edit yourself. Yeah, no, I don't know. I got nothing. I'm tired of the Emmys. Award shows are dumb. Everything's political. Shut it all down.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys. Except we're nothing but love for Brian Tyree. And Henry Winkler, all the Henrys, actually.
I know. I don't care until some like performance that I really cared about gets snubbed, and then I get infuriated.
Yeah, I when I was going through thinking about this, I was like, where the fuck is Smilf? Like, for real, that show was super, as I said, it was just different. It was interesting out the gate. It was something that we haven't seen a lot of on TV. And what about, like, it's always like the liberal elite don't talk about America. That, like, white Boston is what people in the middle of the country think is America, right? Like, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Why
I don't know. Not. There's so many shows now. Is it okay that there are still like six or seven nominations for the same number of categories? Do we need either 15 nominations for every category, or break down the categories into even more nuanced subcategories? I mean, I personally do not want to watch that, but, you know, there's just like triple, quadruple more like people and shows and stuff to.
Yeah. Well, friend,
that's eligible.
Friend of the show, Tim Goodman, that's his hypothesis that the categories should be expanded.
Oh, really?
And
into more nominees or more categories?
More nominees, I guess. Just because, there's so much TV. And I don't know. I also don't know. I mean, Emmys, it's a big money push. That's the whole for your consideration. Right. So, Showtime didn't get behind Smilf, I guess. And
dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. Super dumb. But you guys should tune in tomorrow night to see what Colin Jost and fucking Michael Che have to say. Because, it's great. Bring back...
Another problem with those two guys is they're just so fucking smarmy.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And it's off-putting, and it's like, I don't know. Like, you don't get to be that way anymore. No more smarm.
Yep. No. Apparently you do. You get to not only be that way, you get to, like, host something.
Just smarm your way right to the top.
But I feel like that's kind of my beef with SNL in general, is SNL thinks, like, they're so... of a moment, and that they're setting the national discourse, and it's no. And the same thing, like, oh, we're we're changing things or saving things. You're not. You're not.
Yeah.
Just get over yourself.
Yeah. That's why I'm annoyed at Alec Baldwin's nomination for SNL. It's like, you're not doing anything.
Yes.
Like, yeah, whatever. Congrats. You poked the beast. Yeah. Donald Trump hates you. Good job.
Yeah.
He hates all of us.
Yeah. Exactly.
He hates everyone.
Yeah. That is true. Yep. So on that note, tune into C-SPAN tomorrow at 4:30 for why not have the guys from fucking Queer Eye host?
Oh my God. That would
How much of a dream
amazing.
Would that be? And they're universally beloved.
Yeah.
Universally. Like that would be so devastating if something came out about those guys.
I mean, we already know that Anthony Borowski can't cook, so I mean, maybe that's the skeleton.
Just today is National Guacamole Day. I learned that from Anthony Porosky's feed, his Twitter feed, because he's really leaning into the whole thing about guacamole.
He is the spokesperson for guacamole.
He is unofficially the spokesperson for guacamole. All right. Well, thank you guys for staying tuned to our hating on the Emmys for the last hour.
What are we hating on next week, Leah?
Next week, we are talking about season 2 of Ozark, currently streaming on Netflix. Jason Bateman, who last year we referred to as Bateman, he's problematic now too. So he's on my list, but he's doing an okay job in season 2 of Ozark. I'm into it.
All right. I can't wait to watch it.
So we'll be back next week talking about Ozark. Stay tuned to BFF.fm. Just so you guys know, if you have not yet become a bestie, you missed the second bestie bash yesterday, which by all accounts was just a delight. And for your chance to be invited to future bestie events, you should go to BFF.fm and become a bestie today.
Yeah.
For the low, low fee of like $10 a month, you get all these amazing perks and you get to support community radio. And how else are we going to get to host the Emmys if you guys don't support community radio, guys?
Throw us a fucking bone here.
Do it for women in 2018. But do keep it tuned to BFF.fm today. Indie Rock Girl Radio. Indie Rock Girl Radio. I don't know why I stumble over that every time. It's coming up next. You should stay tuned to that. And then I am going to end with a song. Great personal sacrifice. It is You Too, With or Without You.
For why?
That was played on some show that I wanted to see. I don't even remember what show it was. But anyway, we're going to end with that. And we'll be back next week with more TV on the Radio.
In your side, I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate, on a bed of nails she makes me wait, and I wait without you. Without you. For without